The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Matt Slick Live is what you're listening to. If you want to give me a call, as usual, let's see, five open lines, 877-207-2276, and hope to hear from you. All right, now, I'm going to kind of catch you up on my schedule, because, let's see, next week, I'm going to not be live on the air for the whole week. I've got to go down to Salt Lake City, do some stuff down there. Then, oh, this is going to be fun for me. I'm going to drive down to Laughlin, Nevada, and go to a UFO convention.
Yes!
I've never been to one. I tell people I'm going to go, and they kind of roll their eyes. I go, yeah, I know, but I'm a researcher. I got to go. So anyway, so that's what I'm going to be doing, and hopefully it'll be interesting. I'm going because it's kind of worked out in the schedule, where to go, and got a pastor who wants to go, Rudy, if you're listening. Hey. And so we're going to be having a good time and fellowshipping and things like that. I want to see what's going on. I got some theories about some stuff, so I want to check some stuff out. And we'll just see what happens. Yeah, we'll just see. Hopefully it'll be fine, you know. It'll be all interesting and good stuff. And I'll tell you about it. So we might have a guest in who's going to take my place for a week, but we got to work on a tech problem. So it may or may not occur. We don't know, but we're going to work it. If it would be anybody, it'd be Luke Wayne, and he works with me at the CARM Intergalactic Headquarters, and he's a good guy. And he's a lot better looking than I am, so he has I have a face for radio. He's got a better face for radio. So that'll be fun. And let's see. We'll see if that happens, though. We don't know. No guarantee. But it would be fun to have him on while I'm out driving. I could listen. You know what I could do? I could call in and do my e-articular voice, you know. Hey, how are you? And then ask them some tough questions. See what happens. That'd be fun. But I wouldn't do it. Anyway, three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get on the line here with Charles from Raleigh, North Carolina. Charles, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how are you doing today?
Doing all right by God's grace, man. Hanging in there, buddy. What do you got?
So I heard a sermon the other day, and a pastor was he was talking about the punishment that was bestowed upon Eve and Adam in the garden, in addition to being thrown out. His theory was, he said that in addition to eating of the fruit, that Eve actually had relations with Satan,
yeah.
Bore a child, which was Cain, and he used a verse in 1 John to collaborate that, and he said that's why Eve was sentenced to painful birth, and that's what he was there. And I forgot what verse that is in chapter 3. He was saying that your seed, first of all, he said you and Satan will be enemies because they had the relations, and you will want the man I originally gave for you, which was Adam, and he will rule over you.
Yeah.
He said that. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Let me help you out. That pastor should step down and never speak again, because he does not know what the scriptures teach. He does not know what the truth is. He's teaching false doctrine. The guy couldn't argue his way out of a wet paper bag if the opening was there. A neon light was pointing the way out, and he had a rope with people pulling. Okay. So. This, by any chance, was it on TV or what?
It was on YouTube. There's several of them on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, so this is called the Serpent Seed Doctrine, and it's a load of gówna. That's a Polish word, and you can imagine what it is. And it's bad. It's stupid, okay? It is ridiculous. Now, look, Genesis 4:1. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Okay? Refutes it right there.
Right there.
So it says that Adam had relations with his wife Eve, and she produced Cain. So, obviously, the people who hold to the moronic Cainite or Cainite theory, the stupid idea that Eve and Satan had relations, apparently can't read any further than their myopic rigidity allows them to. And it's stupidity. And I have to say it like it is. It's stupid. Stupid, dumb. And why do these people not look at God's word? And then they start getting into this idiocy. I mean, my spiritual Tourette's wants to kick in, okay? I'm trying to be nice. I'm on the radio. So these guys, you know, get this out of the book of Moronicles, okay? Second Moronicles is where they get it. And they shouldn't be allowed to preach and teach because it's just false doctrine. Now, one of the things that comes out of this is the descendants of the Cainites. They're the wicked people. Oh, and I've been called a Cainite because I don't agree with their doctrine. It is... You know, it just, it's like you and I could be out there and you could get on your, you know, hands and knees behind them and I'd push them over you, you know. I was like, shut up! It's so stupid, okay? And Shepherd's Chapel teaches this, and I've warned people about Shepherd's Chapel and this foolishness, and it's foolishness to teach this. It's foolishness, because Genesis 4:1 refutes it. But I've heard them say, no, they had relations, but it was because she had relations with Satan that she's really pregnant with Satan. It's like, are you crazy? Look what the text says. Oh, they could just, you know, they just memorize it out of the book of Moronicles. And, or it's called, with a chapter, subchapter called Stupidification. So it's just ridiculous.
And you know, man, that he was so convincing with it. I mean, he had it all put together. He made me start to wonder. So I thank you for clearing that up for me.
Well, you know, it's just like, I want to walk up to these people and go, excuse me, you know, and then slap them upside the head. Knock that off. It's refuted by Genesis 4:1. It is so bad. It's right there. The man had relations right with there. His wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. What's wrong with these guys? What is so wrong with these guys that can't get it? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They submit the Word of God to their stupid, stupid ideology. And then they twist the credit.
I'm sorry, there's a verse. He read 1 John 3 or something, and it says that Cain is of Satan.
Yes.
Meaning he's of Satan in his servitude, or it's not talking about lineage or anything like that. Of course, now that I know better.
Cain, who was of the evil one, who slew his brother. Yeah, 1 John 3:12. See, that means that they had relations, even though it specifically says, specifically and clearly in Genesis 4:1, what it is. Now, watch this. Now, this is what they'll also go here. They'll go to, let's see, Matthew 13. Okay, I use this verse a lot, 30. Okay, and it talks about the wheat and the tares, right, in the kingdom. The wheat are the Christians. The tares are the Cainites. They're the descendants of Cain. It's just, you know.
Oh.
This is when I want to get out my T-shirt that says, so much heresy, so little time. You know, it's
so
just.
So little time.
It's one of the few things that just irks me. It is so stupid. It is so stupid. And yet, these guys will get up there and they'll mess people up. They'll mess them up. They take parts of words. They take part of this word, part of that word. But don't see what it says? And, you know, shut up. Man, you know, get out of the pulpit and just, you know, go drive a truck. You know, you don't belong in the pulpit. Okay. Feel a little bit better.
Thank you so much, Matt. I'm going to go back and read all of Genesis. I feel as though I need to do that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Matt.
You're welcome, buddy. All right, God bless. All right. You know, folks, look, there's a lot of idiocy out there on TV. On Sunday mornings, sometimes I'll watch the religious channels, but I don't really like to because it's a day of rest. And I start yelling at the TV. Because there's so much stupidity, so much on there. And I just want to relax. But here's a good example. The Kenite theory. Oh, golly. You know, what are they going to think of next? You know, I could think of it. The Anunnaki, you know, had relations with Goliath's stepchild, you know, and that's who the commies are. Who knows? People believe almost anything. Just trying to make it sound convincing. And I could make something like that actually work out of Scripture by going through and looking at Hebrew words that sound in English when pronounced like English things, and then create a theology out of it, make it sound good, put pictures in there, say it confidently, and I'll tell you, people would believe it. They would. They believe anything. That's why they believe in socialism. All right, let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, good evening, Max Slick. My question is, why do so many, for example, churches, even though they got their Sunday school material and they believe a doctrinal belief by their organization, yet they contradict themselves among the Southern membership?
It depends. Now, first of all, some Pentecostal churches are good and some are not good. Now, there's Pentecostalism tends to be over-emotional, and they misuse the charismatic gifts, but it doesn't mean that they are not Christian. But then there's Pentecostal groups like United Pentecostal, and they are a cult. So you've got to stay away from them. And then some people can have contradictory ideas, like some groups of Christians can say that the rapture happens pre-trib, and some can say it's post-trib. Well, those views contradict each other, but it's okay to have those contradictory views because it doesn't invalidate their Christianity. But if you were to contradict on who Christ is, then that's a problem. So it depends what the issues are. So when you say Pentecostal churches, which ones? And contradictions, which ones? You see?
Now, I got another problem sometimes with pastors sometimes. Sometimes they favor you only when you go along with their understanding. You don't disagree with them, then you're all right standing with them. But then if you disagree with them, then automatically you become their enemy in a way, you could say. So yeah, if you don't want to, even though you try to show them the truth, sometimes they'll like use the pulpit to beat you down, or use the church members as their bulldogs to attack you too.
Yeah,
and
that's abuse.
You don't try to bring the truth.
Yeah, that's spiritual abuse. Right. You should never point somebody out in the pulpit and ridicule them. Let me say, I have done it to a few of my friends, you know, when I talk about the nature of sin, and I'll say, my friend Bob over here, you aren't about sin, talk to him. And people laugh. Okay. That kind of stuff is okay. But you don't want to use the pulpit as a vendetta or as a means to get at somebody in the church because you don't like what they've said. That's a spiritual abuse. There are a lot of pastors out there who should not be pastors because they cannot discern truth from error, don't know the biblical theological perspective necessary, don't have a good theological foundation, and also abuse their power in the pulpit. It happens, okay? Not all of them, but there's enough that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that wouldn't mean like that. They'll start throwing in the remarks in the pool. They'll make fun of you from the congregation. Then the congregation say, amen.
That's spiritual abuse. Hey, we got a break, buddy. Okay? Yeah. All right, man?
All right.
All right, Alberto. God bless, buddy. Okay. Hey, folks, two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. We have one open line if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Adrian from Greensboro, North Carolina, whom we just lost. And let's try the next longest is Eric from Canada. Eric, welcome.
Here's Matt Slick.
Hey.
After the show. Yep.
Are you there? Eric. Eric. You got a little feedback there. I know that. So, waiting for you. A little bit longer. Eric, I guess he's not there listening. No? Three, two, one. We'll put him on hold. All right, let's get to Carrie from Greensboro, North Carolina. Carrie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I heard you make a comment just a moment ago about socialism at the end of another comment you were making to the gentleman. But what is your take on socialism? Is this something that you're not proactive for, or is there some correlation to the Bible that I'm not aware of?
Socialism is,
which includes Medicare and Social Security. That's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, well, there are, okay, we know what socialism is. Do you know what it is? Real socialism?
Well, sure. When the government is helping, well, yeah, but don't take it. Socialism is not communism. So let's don't confuse the audience by making one and the same. They're not.
Can you define socialism?
Certainly. Where the government is helping the people, where the government is putting the bill for something. Even though we have paid into these two
programs. Hold on.
I just asked you a simple
question. Can you define socialism? I didn't ask for a dissertation.
I just did. Go ahead.
What is socialism?
Okay.
You didn't define it.
When the government is helping. Okay, then you define it. You're not going to like what I say.
Well, that's communism. That's democracy. That's oligarchy.
That's not communism. Communism.
Carrie.
Yes, I'm listening.
Can you? No, you're not. You said it's when the government helps somebody. If that's all socialism is, then communism fits. Then democracy fits. Then an oligarchy fits. Because then, and all of those.
Communism doesn't help anyone.
Carrie, I have to put her on hold because she won't listen. She's not listening, folks. This is going to get interesting. But if she can't listen, we can't have a conversation. Now, Carrie, you're back on the air. Are you there?
I'm here. Now I'm going to listen, and I'd like
please
to explain
do.
Without asking me a question.
Okay, Carrie, please, just be patient, okay? I'm trying to work with you. Socialism is a political and social system in which private property and the distribution of income are subject to social and centralized governmental control. Did you know that?
Yes, I have heard that definition or the approximate definition from several sources.
The answer is yes or no. You've heard it or not. Okay.
A socialist
economy does not encourage private ownership of property and businesses, but prefers governmental ownership and control of the economy for the benefit of its members. Do you agree that that's a good thing? That the government should control private businesses? And that the property private property is reduced?
No, I don't agree with that. I have a small business.
That's what socialism is. You have to think about something. Picture a scale, and you have the government control on one side and private rights on the other, and they're equally balanced. Now, the more that socialism increases, the heavier it gets, the less your freedoms are. The more socialism there is, the less freedoms you have. Because if the socialism, most people don't know what it is. All they're taught is socialism's good. It's a plot by the leftists to overthrow our country, because socialism is one step away from communism. Communism is complete state control. Socialism is partial state control. But when people throughout history, when people get control, they don't give it up. They want more control, because the more control they get, the more laws they have to pass in order to keep that control, which means you have less freedom. This is what happens historically in socialist systems. They will tell you in your business.
But that hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened here? Are you kidding me?
No,
listening?
I'm not kidding you. And
Carrie,
I'm afraid
Carrie,
in your definition.
Carrie.
I'm trying to say something now.
Carrie, you said it hasn't happened here.
I'm here.
But I'm telling you what happens in socialist systems, and you ignore that and say, hasn't happened here. It is beginning to, and it's going to. It's going to get worse. Socialism always, in the history of the countries, means a lack of proper distribution of goods and inflation. This is how it works. You don't know what socialism has done.
Right.
You don't know what it is.
Well, I think I study pretty much.
No, you
but
haven't.
Listen, Matt. it concerns me that when you describe socialism as you do in connection with communism, people are not going to give up Social Security and or Medicare.
I didn't
we shouldn't
say,
give up Medicaid.
Excuse me, Carrie.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth,
Carrie,
but you do conflate the
Carrie.
Two.
I had to mute her. She's not listening again. She's put words in my mouth. I did not say no Social Security. I did not say no Medicare. I did not say that. We're defining what socialism is. She's missing the point. She's thinking that socialism is good because of Social Security. That's what she's saying. But that's not the point of what socialism is. Are you still there, Carrie?
Yes, I'm still here, but that's not right. You get to cut me off and
interrupt. Yes, I do. I just did it again. You see, you have to be careful, Carrie. It's my show, not your show. And if you're not going to be polite, then we're not going to have a conversation.
Rest of us.
Okay, are you there now?
Your show is there, Matt, because of all the rest of us who do listen. And so if you
are
cut
you
me
a Christian,
off again,
Carrie? Carrie, are you a Christian?
Yes, I'm certainly a great believer in the in our Lord
you,
God of the Holy
let me
Bible.
Ask you, Carrie,
the same God
Carrie,
of Isaac.
Carrie.
Yes.
In socialism, they want to confiscate your guns. What do you think of that? Is that good?
I have not seen in socialism where anyone's trying to confiscate this.
Okay. The socialist countries that around the world look at them. Do some.
Matt, Carrie. I'm talking in the U.S.
Okay. She thinks, oh man, she thinks because it hasn't happened here yet that it doesn't matter what happens everywhere else with socialism, as though somehow it's going to be different here. It's just not good thinking. Carrie, I asked you a specific question. Is it okay with you in the socialist regimes that have happened in every country that becomes socialistic, they confiscate weapons? Are you okay with that?
I said
you,
no.
Is it yet? Yeah, oh, no? Okay. So then why is it the
no,
leftist... So, then
no,
why
I keep my gun.
I got you. Why is it the leftist agenda and the leftist socialist Democrats are trying to get rid of our guns? Why are they trying to do that?
I don't agree with you there, but I don't think we need
yes,
an MR-15 or 14 to hunt a deer. No.
You know what the Second Amendment's for? The Second Amendment is to protect us from an oppressive government. Do you know that? Carrie, you don't study.
Yes, nah,
you don't study. We got a break. Let's continue with this after the break if she's still around. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's see how this goes. Carrie, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Now, Carrie, socialism contradicts Scripture. Okay?
Where? Where does it contradict?
Good. Socialism does not prefer a representative form of government. You have to understand what happens in socialism. The control gradually filters and moves towards a few people in power who then decide the production of means of production and distribution. And in order to keep the people in line who disagree, laws have to be passed to keep them in line. And therefore, the representative form of government eventually fails completely. And the representative form of government is found in Exodus 18. Self-governance is in Matthew 18. But you can't self-govern yourself when the socialist system is in control of the means of production and is confiscating private businesses and controlling how they are to be working and where their goods are to be going to. Socialism also reduces, if not confiscates, private property rights. But yet in Exodus 20, we're supposed to have private property. It reduces the principles of liberty and freedom by increasing its own power. And yet we're supposed to not be slave of anybody. We're to have liberty. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about this. The Bible teaches capitalist principles, believe it or not. The parable of the landowner with the servants in charge in Matthew 21. And he has the parable of the talents where the master goes, gives to his servants in Matthew 25. A lot of people are completely unaware that the Puritans, when they came to this country, specifically, it's documented, specifically asked the ministers to go through the scriptures, the word of God, and derive out of the word of God a biblical governmental system. And this is what became instituted in the Constitution. People don't know this. And we also have the right of self-defense. And as Christians, we have the right to bear weapons. Jesus says in Luke 22:36, he says, by a sword, we have the right of self-defense. All the time inside of socialist countries, all of them, they get rid of weapons, they confiscate property, and they tell you what you can and cannot produce and how to produce it. Are you aware of this, Court Carey?
Yes, I am.
Then why would you support socialism?
I think that you create a sense of fear-mongering between what is socialism and what is communism, and you combine the two, conflate the two. I don't believe that the perfect world that we wish to live in is not going to happen here until Jesus returns. So with that in mind, we have to make the best of what is here to us. Programs like Social Security have raised the livelihood of people in not just in old age, but people who are crippled before they ever hit 62.
Did you know
have something to fall back on?
Let me finish mine.
Have something to fall back on because of Social Security.
Well, wait a minute.
People have something to fall back on with Medicare. These are social programs.
I get that. But I'm not talking about those things that the government comes in supposed to help us
those
out.
Are
I don't
the
have. I don't have any problem
that
with that.
That I called into you about, because most people know that those are socialistic programs, and you all people and politicians, as do preachers, create a fear over socialism when they take socialism to an extreme.
This is not an extreme.
Well, we all do. Nobody wants to be taken over.
Carrie.
But when you define it as you do.
Carrie,
you
the researcher.
Saying Terry. Just
what's your name, right?
Yeah, Matt. You make it hard to talk to you.
Good, because I want you to. I want you to understand
what social. It should be an open conversation.
I want her to understand what socialism is, folks. It is an evil system. Socialism is unbiblical. It's against Scripture. It does not work. 1992. Venezuela was the third richest country in the hemisphere. In 1997, they were the largest purchasers of F-150 trucks. In 1998, Hugo Chavez, elected president through the Bolivarian Revolution, brought in socialist principles, just socialist principles and policies. In 2001, Chavez passed laws aimed at the redistribution of land and wealth. That is socialism. That's what socialism is, the redistribution of land and wealth. In 2001, socialist president became an income equality. Now, this is what they did. They voted for socialist president and income equality. That's not the biblical thing, okay? You earn and you work hard and you reap the benefits or the penalties of your successes and failures. And others are supposed to help you, but the government's not obligated to come in and bail you out. In 2004, private health care is completely socialized. In 2005, Chavez signs a decree to eliminate large estates and remove the removal of private property. 2005, stiff fines and prison terms for those in the media who criticize public figures. In 2006, Chavez shifts military buying from U.S. to Russia. In 2007, he announced the key energy and telecommunications companies would be nationalized. I read up on this even more. He was saying to people like Exxon and Mobil, who had energy, who put money into and infrastructure into Venezuela, he confiscated it. Said, nope, we want it. Basically, it's theft. And then he said all higher education becomes free. That was in 2007. All this sounds so great, socialist, right? Well, here's the real world where it was happening. In 2007, ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips refused to hand over control of operations of the Venezuelan government, and they're kicked out of the country. 2009, socialists banned private ownership of guns. Why would they do that? Because if you have guns, you can resist. And the socialists don't want you to resist because they're in power. When they're in power, they don't give up power. In 2009, voters approved a plan to abolish term limits. Why? Because they're in control of the media and they got brainwashed. 2012, government enforces price controls on basic goods to battle inflation. 2012, Bernie Sanders praises Venezuela as the American dream. And it goes on and on and on. And millions have left Venezuela because of socialism. It's not just the idea of having a little bit of a fallback for Social Security, retirement. That's not what we're talking about. Socialism is unbiblical. Socialism is dangerous. Socialism is ungodly. And it is a step closer to communism. People have to stand up and shout about it, and people in the pulpits should also preach on it and educate the people about what socialism is. Kelly from Los Angeles, welcome. You're on the air. Kelly, you're on
Hello?
The air.
Hello? Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. I had put the phone down because I thought you was going to take up the whole show with her.
Okay. No, it's just, it gets me going. Okay. I do not get angry. So.
I'm going to make it quick because I want to be considerate. All Matt, right. There have been times where I've gone through a repetitive season. Like, I keep seeing the same season over and over and over again. And I've heard quite a few people say, well, maybe you're not learning a particular lesson that needs to be learned. You're not passing a test. My question is, would God give you a test and not give you the heads up that you're taking a test?
Sure, he would put you through something and you'd not know what it is. He doesn't inform us, hey, I'm going to give you a test. It's going to come up in 3 months, 2 months, 1 month. You ready? Here it goes.
Okay. No, not like that.
He doesn't do that. So all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, in a car accident and you're in the hospital and now you have to trust God to pay the bills. Or you get sick or whatever. Or you just feel spiritually dry and he's allowing something to happen for a reason in his sovereignty. Oh, yeah, he doesn't always let you know.
Oh, so that's what tests are. So it's like a testing of faith?
Yes. It's a test for your faith, to develop your faith so that it might be increased. Yes. The testing of your faith.
I thought it was some kind of tough test. I thought it was a test. Sometimes I'd be on my best behavior thinking, like, I don't want to fail a test. But, so it's a testing of your faith.
Look, consider it all, this is James 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or tests, okay? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Okay, and it continues. And endurance has its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, you know, you go to James, it's James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. And so James is writing, people are going through testing, through difficult times. And this is what's going to happen as socialism rises in America and our morality is on a decrease, on a decline, and leftists are out there trying to control everything, whether defunding the police and funding the leftist terrorists domestically, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So it's coming. Persecution's coming.
All right.
I'm telling people.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, you're welcome. Okay, God bless.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the lively Matt Slick Live show. Let's get to Richard from North Carolina. Richard, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hope you're having a good evening tonight. Yeah. Hopefully my question doesn't raise your blood pressure as much as the first question.
Oh, I hate socialism. I hate it. I know what it's going to do to this country. I know it's going to destroy this country. And the useful idiots are marching downhill, lockstep, to the trumpet call of socialistic freedom, and it's really oppression. And when I say useful idiots, it's a term from, I think it's Stalin, who said that he called the people who are brainwashed into promoting his agenda, he called them useful idiots.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Russia, I think that's a good segue into my question. So,
okay.
I, about a year ago, encountered an apologetic challenge to my faith from an Eastern Orthodox colleague of mine. I had never studied or met anyone who was Eastern Orthodox prior. Now, I had dealt with Roman Catholics before. And whenever I would try to discuss the Bible with him or some of his co-parishioners as I got to, you know, discussing particular doctrinal issues, the issue of, like, well, that's just your private interpretation. You're not part of the one true church. Where's your bishop? You know, and they would use the whole apostolic succession line. But one thing that, you know, I've sort of challenged them on, and I saw a debate recently between Dr. Gavin Ortland from Gospel Coalition with a Father Patrick Ramsey, who is an Eastern Orthodox priest out of England, I believe. And they were discussing the issue of the twofold office of ministry versus the threefold, I guess, model for the office of ministry. The twofold office being elder and deacon, and then the threefold being bishop, priest slash elder, and then deacon.
Yeah.
And so I had a question just in regards to Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. One of the lines that I've heard from Eastern Orthodox is they'll say, well, Titus was a bishop, and you see God is asking him to appoint elders in every city. But what it seems to me is that the elders that are mentioned in verse 5 of chapter 1 in Titus, that when it mentions the overseer in verse 7, it's essentially talking about the same category of people.
Right.
Which,
very good.
The reason this distinction, I think, is important is because if there's just a twofold office of ministry, this whole idea of apostolic succession from bishops sort of goes out the window.
Very good. I'm impressed. You got it right. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, appoint elders in every city as I directed you. And then it goes down and it says, for the overseer. And that's episkopos in the Greek, which is bishop. So elders as presbyteros. And overseer or bishop is episkopos. So what they do mistakenly is they have three offices, elders, bishops, and priests. But priests, there is no priestly office in the New Testament except for Christ's high priestly office. And we are kings and priests, as called the priesthood of all believers. And so we have that generic role, but they have an elevation of the priesthood like the Roman Catholic Church. So, I've talked
about just real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's I think maybe you misspoke. So they have bishops, and then they conflate priest and elders, since the term priest comes from that word.
But they
and
have,
then they still have deacons.
But yes, they do. They're deacons too. But you got to understand there's different, quite a few variations of Eastern Orthodoxy. And they're as bad as Roman Catholicism in their theology. They also appeal to the church fathers. The church fathers are the true understanding, and they pick and choose which church fathers they like. And
I've seen some of your interactions with Jay Dyer, and they have been quite testy. And I have discovered this section of the internet of quote-unquote ortho bros who are very aggressive and very unchristlike in their behavior. Towards Protestants in particular.
Yeah, I do. I love talking to them. They don't want to talk to me very often because I ask them difficult questions. And I say, show me this in the Word of God. Show me this in Scripture. And incidentally, the guy misquoted a verse to you, 2 Peter 1:20. Because when you interpret Scripture, they'll say, hey, you just, you can't, that's your own private interpretation. Well, they're misquoting it. It says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture. It didn't say Scripture. Prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. It's the prophecy that's dealing with the issue in the Scriptures. They get it wrong all the time. And often when they quote that verse, I'll say, hey, did you hear that? And they go, what? Well, you know, the ripping sound like a verse ripped out of context. You didn't hear that? And they don't like that, but I do. And so you always got to check what they say. Don't assume that the Scriptures that they're quoting right and are quoting in context Always yep. check the context. Always. Don't trust them.
Yep. And just real quick before I let you go, so another passage of Scripture that seems to bring up this issue is Acts chapter 20. It's when Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesus who are coming to meet him at Miletus before he's getting ready to go on his very arduous eventual journey to Rome. And in verse 17, it talks about how he assembles the elders, and then down in verse 28, it seems to be that he is referring to those elders as the bishops of the church, and that they are to pastor or shepherd the flock of God. So the three-term pastor, elder, and bishop seem to be referring to one office, but just sort of a title versus a role versus
That's
dignity.
Right. That is correct. Very good. I wasn't aware of that in Acts 20. I wasn't Titus, but good job for you. Okay, you are looking at the word, and you're going with the word, and you're finding out that what they're saying is not that grounded in Scripture. So good for you.
Yeah. Well, I love my colleague, and you know, I've gotten to know his co-parishioners, and you know, I'm praying for them because I'm starting to realize, just like my encounters with Rome Catholics, you know, 10 years ago, that Eastern Orthodoxy, while they do have a lot of distinctions from Rome, there's a lot of overlap in terms of the things that are wrong with their system.
Yep. Soteriologically and Mariolatry, the same things. They could lose their salvation, you keep it by being good and following certain rules, and you belong to the true church, and then they have iconoduos, which is that they love icons, and you know, they add so much to the Word of God, just like the Catholics do. They don't believe Christ. Anyway.
Right.
Good for you, buddy.
Like I was saying earlier, I think the I think the influence of these ortho bros is growing, particularly as we see the woke movement within evangelicalism. They're trying to pick people off at the edges.
And yes,
I think
they are.
Right that we warn about them as well.
That's right. The weak in faith. The predators come after the weak of the flock. It's the job of the pastor to guard them and to teach them. Okay.
All right, well, thank you, Matt, for answering my question. Yep.
All right, Richard. God bless. Okay, let's get over to Eric, if he's still there after a half hour. You still there, Eric? Eric.
Yeah, I am. Hello, okay. I'm back. You still there?
Sure, man. Yes, hello? I am. Sorry for keeping you so long.
I'm here.
Buddy. Thanks for waiting. Okay, what do you got, man?
Hi, you hear me?
Yes, I do. I hear you.
Good, okay. I have a hard time here. Okay, I'm wondering, did the Muslim religion start with Sarah and Abraham?
No. Muhammad was born in 570, and then in, I think it's 610, is when he got the message in the cave.
Yeah.
And then in 613 is his first real preaching. So, you know, probably say around 610. Now, the Muslims are going to tell you that it was with Abraham, that was the true Islam, but no. No, they didn't teach what Islam teaches. And so it came with Muslims. In fact, I'm going to see if I can get a hold of somebody who doesn't even think that Muhammad actually
he had a child with the concubine, because Sarah laughed and so there was two.
Right. No? They were 13 years difference, and it was Hagar and bore Ishmael, and they say that Ishmael is probably the father of the Arabic nations, but Arabs were already around at that time. But that's one of the theories, and 13 is a number. It's okay. 13 is a number of sin, incidentally, in the Bible. And so Ishmael was born first to Hagar and then Isaac. But God said to Abraham, take your only begotten son, Isaac, and go offer him on the hill. So he called him the only begotten. Interesting. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
And I thank you for your show. I really enjoy watching it.
Well, I'm glad you do, Eric.
Bye-bye, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. All right, let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Matt Slick. Pleasure to talk to you, as always. I had two things I want to get to, and I know we're short on time, so I'll try to get to them real quick.
Let's do one, because we've got other callers waiting. So let's just do one, and let's see if we can get to them. Okay, go ahead.
All right, gotcha. Well, I'll just make a quick statement then. That lady that was talking about socialism,
mm-hmm.
very liberal anymore, independent now. If people really look at the liberal agenda, it is not favorable to the Christians.
No,
socialism, same thing. So they gotta realize that. That being said, next question is, it's about, how can I frame it? I'll frame it like this. Adam and Eve. Because I asked the question before about scribes being there and they were able to write down parts of the Bible. How do we get our accounts about Adam and Eve?
It was through Moses. And we don't know exactly how Moses got it, but he might have had some older records, or the Lord gave it to him directly.
Okay. Okay. All right, sounds good. All right, thank you, sir. And God bless you. And I'll be praying for you and your family and all who are affiliated with you. Take care. God bless.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right, let's get to Martin from Virginia. Martin, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. What do you got, buddy?
All right. Hey, this is just kind of jumping on that socialism call really quick. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds, just want to tack on and we could drop. So I get this a lot from some family members or friends that, hey, don't you like Social Security? Don't you like your Medicare, your Medicaid? And it's like, well, that's not socialism. That's a social program in a capitalistic society.
Right.
All
right.
Propped and supported by very socialistic bills and bonds in an economy to support that, sort of support, pay for it. And you've got all kinds of private capital and private institutions supporting that as well to make it so great that everybody in the socialist nation want to come here. That's kind of what I wanted to add.
That's very good. I like that. It's a social program in a capitalistic society. And if you think about it, it's the only reason it can work, because it's not in a socialistic system. It's in a capitalist system, which has the backbone of money and the depth of the resources to be able to provide it. Yep.
Bingo. Yeah, yeah. Would you trade your Social Security for Venezuela's Social Security program?
No.
You know, you're important from here. Yeah, exactly.
No.
So it's not a socialism. You're not a socialist because you partake in a social program. My social circle after church is not a socialist society. It's just
right.
A social program.
That's right. Bad news. All right, buddy. God bless.
Yep.
Okay.
God bless. Yep, bye.
Okay. Hey, let's get to Chuck, the last caller, really fast on Shepherd's Chapel. I think we got less than
yes,
a minute.
Yes, sir, Matt. Hi, Matt. This is Chuck. I'm wondering, the Shepherd's Chapel that you mentioned at your beginning of your broadcast, is that the one out of either Cary or Raleigh, North Carolina?
I forget where they're out of, but it's bad news. Don't listen to them. And there's an end
wow,
of the show.
This is something. The guy that preaches is one of the premier preachers in the country. A good friend of
Shepherd's Chapel. Shepherd's Chapel's bad news, okay? We can talk more about it tomorrow if you want.
Wow.
But we're out of time, buddy.
That's
we're out of time. Okay, call back
thanks,
tomorrow.
Matt.
Okay. God bless. Hey, folks. We are out of time. May the Lord bless you, and hopefully tomorrow will be as interesting as it was today. May the Lord bless you. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.